WGN 1340. Go Falls!
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Afternoon and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Happy Earth Day to those of you who celebrate.
I do.
What do you do to observe Earth Day, Bear?
Sit outside.
I have a guess.
So nothing is what you do to observe it. Nothing.
We used to do
it's mighty observational of you. Hmm.
Enjoy the planet. And all its wondrous things.
Looks good to me. Look at this thing.
It's all still here.
She's still here. Just keep on trucking. Russell, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. Good to see everybody briefly Saturday morning at the inaugural Fan Run Open, which was a rousing success.
It's tremendous from the word go.
I just want to do it again, like immediately. I had such a good time.
We had a blast.
Some shenanigans.
Lots of shenanigans.
Would it surprise anybody in the listening audience, one single person, if I told them that, and I'm so ashamed to have missed this, but evidently the first thing that happened was Bear almost wrecking a golf cart and perhaps killing himself in the process.
I wasn't dying, buddy. I was getting ready to jump out of that thing.
I'm sad I missed it, but tales of this adventure.
Technically, I wasn't the first.
Who was the first?
Overtime Bill, a.k.a. William Pattison, a.k.a. Liam.
The bottom hole one, treacherous.
I've got him on video. Like, he, like, spun from the top to the bottom, and then me, like an idiot, I'm like, well, I can
drive better than that.
Multiple people almost wrecking golf carts. No serious injuries. No Fan Run hosts were harmed during the production of the inaugural Fan Run Open.
Miller's
pride is toast.
He's taking some emotional, took an emotional toll on him.
You're really.
He took a day off.
At some point, we're going to have to talk to Bear about it's.
It began with the air horn
we're
on
bullying
Saturday.
A little bit. This is bullying right now, Bear. This is we're all
you weren't,
in this
you
together.
Weren't here last week.
I've been here for the past year, and like your level of obsession with Miller is, it's you're like
Houston,
O'Doyle.
You want to step in here?
You're like O'Doyle and Billy Madison right now.
No, I mean,
there are rules.
I came in and I sit down behind the board, and you know Miller's always leaving me little love notes and. So.
That is true.
That's
there
true.
Was a golf ball.
There was a golf ball.
A perfectly good Pro V1 that he decided to waste and write Bear Sucks on it.
That's actually pretty good. I don't know that was a total waste, but it's pretty good. All I'm saying is the war between Bear and Miller is escalating at a rapid pace, and I could see this going to bad areas. But anyway, take the advice or not. It's not for me to decide.
He just needs to do what he's told.
You nailed it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
When you said, Bear, once you realize that Jake's personality is just you on steroids, then you'll understand.
It's weird.
It's
Miller got there.
Two opposing magnet forces just like pushing each other away.
I was literally in my cart with Julia. We're going to put the signs out on the back nine.
Uh-huh.
I had already determined. I said, John, you take the front nine. We'll take the back nine. Miller somehow hops in the cart with John, looks at me and says, Houston, you take the back nine. I'm like, thank you, Miller. We've already made this decision. We've had a discussion amongst adults.
He is the guy that after the decision has been made.
Go do that.
Walks in like with his chest puffed out and says, hey, you guys go do the thing you already agreed to do.
I mean, he was threatening to fire people.
Oh, he stole Marcus from the first two or three holes.
Yeah.
We didn't have Marcus because he was like, Marcus, I need you to clean my balls or something. I don't know. You know, just Miller.
I'm very appreciative of the services of Caddy Marcus.
No,
on
Marcus
Saturday.
Did a great job. An absolutely fantastic job.
Well, I'm glad that everybody had a good time, despite a little rainy weather. I mean, it looked a little iffy, but I came out for a minute, rode around the course. Everybody appeared to be having a great time. Now, it was Tim Hill's team.
Yes.
Hoisted the Fan Run Cup.
Glad it stayed in the building.
Drank from the keg of glory.
He said they did, in fact, drink from the cup.
There was
multiple times.
There was a lot of controversy early on, like right after you left.
Oh, I'm sure there was no cheating in this thing at all. I'm sure everybody 100% honest on the scorecards.
Well, I mean, right off the bat, Brett Hollander and company, Brett was pretty much called just a blatant cheater by
pretty much
the entire course.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
you know what I said?
What's he accused
you know
of
what
doing?
I said, Russ?
Well, hold on. I mean, like you
pencil
can't just
pushing.
Pencil pushing.
You know, you get right a three, you write down a two.
You wouldn't be an honest. You know what I told everybody? You can't do that.
It's not an honest Friday.
We definitely did not cheat. We also did not take a mulligan a single time. We earned it the hard way. But once we got to the back nine, right, Tucker? Is that right? We started on the front. We started on the back.
Yeah.
So once we got to the front nine, which they flipped the nines on the courses over the last couple years, I started to realize, like, oh, okay, yeah, if you started here, like, it's pretty easy to go a little lower on the front nine. So after that, it was like, okay.
Although I will say the ninth hole is a very tough hole to end on that
very
course.
Tough. Very, very tough.
Well,
I'll tell you what, VFL Aaron Medley was by far, I felt like, the best golfer on the course.
Yeah.
Some useful shots.
Useful that. Useful.
Yep.
David Faraday.
Well, we got a lot to get into here this afternoon, folks. So let's just go ahead and pop the top here today, as it is a beautiful spring afternoon here in East Tennessee, and yet another somber day in the coal mines. Much to discuss, much to get into. We have a commitment today. Just about an hour ago, Redarius Jackson.
Fantastic name.
Wide receiver from the Memphis area committing to Tennessee as he joins Joakim Dotson of nearby Collierville High School. Now have four in-state commitments when you throw in George McIntyre of Brentwood Academy and Ethan Utley of Ensworth in Nashville. And, you know, this guy's interesting. Redarius Jackson, 6'2", 195 receiver. And he chooses Tennessee over Ole Miss, Auburn, and Mississippi State. A good offer list. Mm. You're not beating out Ohio State and Alabama for this young man. But the word is from the folks who cover this is that Heupel and Pope love this guy. And Tennessee is in on some elite wide receivers. You got a couple of five stars, Jamie French from down in Jacksonville, Caleb Cunningham from Mississippi, who Tennessee is in the hunt on. And they apparently the staff loves this young man as much as any of those five stars. So we'll see. I tend to trust Josh Heupel at this point when it comes to judging wide receiver prospects. But they coveted this young man, and today they reel him in. He is a four-star on 247.
You know what I always say? 247, much better at evaluating talent. He's a four-star on there.
Is he only a three-star on?
He's a four-star on 3.
Okay. No, he's I don't even better check. Do some research there, buddy.
We'll double-check this Bears claiming verification. Who knows anymore? Because, like, these
I've
stats.
Seen people put out tweets saying he's a three-star.
Mm.
On the beat.
He is a four-star on let's see, the thing I'm looking at now, though, the On3 industry ranking says he's a four-star on 3, but a three-star on 247. But I was just reading from 247 where they refer to him as a four-star. Who knows?
He's a really talented kid. 6'2", 195, lanky. He's a 50-50 expert, 50-50 ball kind of guy. Rangy, lanky. Heard him described as being a burner as well, Russ.
Bears emptying the recruiting cliche bucket right now.
Damn Skippy. And he's an early – I'm not saying he's a P2C, but he's definitely got some P2C
like
potential
capabilities. Where's he from again?
Memphis.
Sheffield High School in Memphis.
I've never even heard of that. He was Mr. Football in 3A last year.
Yeah.
Tennessee really, really likes this young man. So another big pickup right now for a Tennessee class that feels like they're casting a wider net on some of these, you know, offering more kids. We'll see if that pays off. Tennessee is now up to number 14 in the 247 top 25 recruiting rankings. 9 commitments, so obviously a long way to go there. We'll see how it all shakes out. Just interesting observations here at Wake Forest at number 11, Syracuse at number 9.
Syracuse?
What?
Yeah. They got 16 commitments, only 1 4-star.
Yeah, the numbers game. Gotcha. Yeah.
So it's early to look at these numbers, but some of those.
Some Butch Jones math going on.
Yeah, well said. Just load it up early so you're always near the top.
62 and 3-stars.
Recruiting season. Kicking into gear. Big day for Josh Heupel and staffs. They land Rodarius Jackson. Big day for Tony Vitello and the Baseball Vols as they roll up to Kentucky and take 2 of 3. Just keep winning these series.
Should have been a sweep.
Should have, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, we say that. They probably feel like they could have won either games. I'm comfortable with it. Like, they're a pretty good team, man. Like, not as good as us, obviously. But they pushed us in all 3 games. I mean, none of those games were, like, blowouts where you just felt super comfortable.
Well, yesterday was the first time. This was probably the first weekend where their bullpen had really been stressed and – we're facing
who ours or theirs?
Kentucky's.
Yeah,
ours a little bit too. Cause you know, I mean,
we had nothing left. I mean,
they're contact hitters.
Yeah, I mean, we literally used everything we had.
Just pray that Marcus Phillips works on that last batter. Basically, is what they were doing.
It was a weird situation because his dad's he's a cat for life. Played football for them, I believe.
Oh. Really?
Yeah,
did not know that.
I didn't either.
Bear dropping nugs this afternoon.
No, you got to wonder if Mingione?
Yeah, Nick Mingione.
Tried to have Simo thrown out.
I was going to say, I'm wondering if he's worried like or has thought about like maybe we just should not have pitched to that guy. He was having a pretty good weekend.
Well, that last one they could have, I mean, first base was open. I still don't understand why
put
you
him
don't.
On. I'd put him on every time
put
after
him
he
on
the first
base.
One. Yeah.
But, I mean, then you're looking at you're walking somebody to face –
yeah,
the number one batter in the conference in Blake Burke.
That's the beauty of it.
But they kept throwing that ball like right where Simo likes
it. They kept hanging it on him.
I get that college pitchers don't have the pinpoint control accuracy of professional pitchers. But I do wonder why more teams don't employ the old intentional walk.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, we're not going to intentionally walk this guy, but we're not going to give him anything to hit.
Yeah, let's give him some just nasty stuff in the dirt. Yeah, we're going to reach on something.
Yeah, we're going. Yeah, exactly. See if he will swing at a pitch low outside the zone, and we get a cheap ground ball and get out of this thing. But
give him
they
pop up.
They just keep. And the tears at bat yesterday too, where he threw him like 9 consecutive off speed pitches just right up in the zone. Even the Kentucky announcers, who I loved, by the way, we can get into that later.
You did?
Yeah, they even those guys were like, I don't know about this. Like he keeps launching these things 400 feet
what was
foul.
It he kept saying, he goes, if you give it to him waist high, he's just that's right where he wants it.
Yeah, and
that,
what a big hit that was for him. I mean, like Simo today, SEC Offensive Player of the Week. No big surprise there. Epic series. Only the fact that Condon kid at Georgia has hit like 30 home runs already is going to keep him from being SEC Player of the Year.
Yeah,
which I get. But wow, what a season Simo is having. But that home run by Tears, like that was huge because you know Simo's going to produce. I feel like Tears had been I would say slump, but
a little bit, yeah,
in the vicinity of slumphood. And boy, that was a great way to just a battle of an at bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you when I didn't realize that had been in a slump, but I was curious as to why he wasn't playing yesterday. Dalton Bargo.
Yeah.
He's like Well, according to my boy Ryan Shumpert, he's 0 for 8. Oh, he was 0 for 8 in his last SEC games.
You know, it's interesting. You have to nitpick to find flaws with the team at this point, obviously.
Especially offensively, yeah.
But it does feel like we are struggling to settle on a DH.
Mm-hmm.
And remember a couple of weeks ago, it was Villeneuve. It was like, all right, he's just going to be the DH, even against right-handed pitching, and he's just too good. And then he wasn't the guy. And then Bargo came in, and, okay, he's going to be the DH, and until he's not. Now he's not. Now Reese Chapman has taken a turn at it, and he did pretty good. Imagine he gets to hold on to that, at least against right-handers for the foreseeable future. But if you had to nitpick a little bit, like, it feels like we have not settled on a true designated hitter. And it might just be a by game type thing at this point.
You got options, but
Cannon did have that key sack fly that scored the run.
Well, that's another, like, his, I don't want to say not panning out, because he's got another year, and I think he'll be the catcher next year.
Yeah.
And he might carve out a role at some point this year. It was good to see him drive that run in yesterday. But when we got him, we're thinking, okay, here's a catcher who's going to hit over 300, and he's going to hit 15 or 20 home runs and be this great player. And obviously he hasn't done that. And so Stark has done well, and obviously he provides a comfort level on the defensive side, but he's limited offensively.
He's getting really good at drawing walks.
Yeah, and it's like, if Peebles had just nailed that and been what we thought he was going to be, like, how does that change the team this year?
A bit.
A good bit.
Still a lot of baseball to play here as we roll through the season. Open up the phone lines here, 865-218-288-3133. It's been a couple of days.
I hadn't
thought about it for a couple of days. I can get back in the flow here.
Did you miss us?
That pause was funny. 865-2-Houston?
I realized I didn't know the number as I was thinking it, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say the area code, and sometimes the muscle memory will just roll it right off your tongue, and it didn't happen. So you swing and miss, you know? All right, stay with us. The drive continues when we get back. Transfer portal madness, new names Rick Barnes is looking at in the portal. A high school commitment, remember those?
Ah, yes.
Seems so quaint and long ago. But we got one. We'll talk about it when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Houston to Tucker, cruising with you on a Monday afternoon edition of the show. One thing I was disappointed to have missed was the Justin Gainey interview on Thursday, which obviously went well. What stood out to you coming out of that?
Bear, do we call him shots? Can we just go ahead and do that?
I mean, he's a consummate professional.
Very professional, yes.
But because Houston just asked a fairly innocuous question. How did you word it? You were like, what are you guys?
I think it was the last question, right? It was like, hey, what's the one thing that you think this team needs
next year
for next year? And he was like, oh, we need a better back to the basket score. And I was like, Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that's what jumped out to me, too. And my first initial thought was like, oh, man, really? It's like, because I don't want that. Like, it's nice to have, but I want shooting. Like, if there's anything that the past couple of years have taught us is.
But you look at the national champs, and they've always got one of those guys.
And they've got a rim protector, but their guy can score around the basket a little bit, but they don't rely on that.
Purdue did. Klingon can actually shoot the three, so that was a little bit different.
And then in the moment, we felt like that was more because I don't know like how out of it, how say I know you were like really, really sick, but early in the day, Barnes had a press availability.
Oh, I listened to the whole thing.
And that really short, terse answer he gave about
Jonas.
Well, yeah, he said it was fine.
You know, that was my second thought, when I thought about it later from the angle of, was it a shot at Adu? I don't think it was a shot at Adu. I think that they're just frustrated with the deal. Because then you think about it from Ganey's perspective. Because remember, Ganey brought Adu here. Mm-hmm. We hired Ganey away from Marquette, where he had Adu committed.
Yeah.
North Carolina connection. He was bringing Adu up there to play at Marquette. He comes here. He brings Adu with. So that's his guy that he's known for 4 or 5 years since he's been recruiting him in high school. So you can also see how Ganey would be hurt that, you know, this guy that he had invested so much time in.
Yeah.
From a recruitment and development standpoint.
And maybe that's the vibe. It was like a betrayed thing, right? It was just kind
of
like...
the vibe both of them gave off was that they were completely blindsided.
Right, right.
That they thought everything was fine until it wasn't.
And that's basically what Barnes seemed to indicate, that they had had a meeting and that they told him that Adu said he was staying and they felt fine about it. And the next day, boom, he's gone. Which, hey, man, that's the portal in 2024. So that was my thought on that. And then over the weekend, we have a new name now in the portal that there's a lot of smoke that is a heavy Tennessee situation, and that's Felix Okpara from Ohio State.
Yeah.
He's originally from Nigeria, but went to high school in the Chattanooga area. I think he was at that.
He played at the prep school with Julian Heights, Phillips and Cam Carr.
Okay.
So he's got a connection there.
So another connection, the Rod Clark connection, I guess, as well. 6'11", 235 pounds, only 6.6 points per game. So that's down from what Adu gave you. 6.4 rebounds, probably similar to what he gave you. But 2.4 blocks per game. In only 23 and a half minutes per game.
Okay, yeah.
Contrast that to Adu. You can pull this up, Tucker, but Adu was, I want to say, 1.8 blocks per game at whatever he was playing, 30-plus minutes a game.
Yeah.
So this guy fills the rim protection need from that. As 6'11", 235, I mean, that's pretty good. It's basically Adu's size.
They say everything I've heard, he's a lot more physical than Adu.
Well, that was Adu's, I don't want to say fatal flaw, but like
he
was a finesse big.
Back anybody down.
No,
it's my understanding this kid's.
He couldn't move anybody, and if anybody was bigger than him, he couldn't hold his ground, which is, you know.
Well, we had to have a Strel. I mean,
yeah.
Strel is still getting abused, but he could at least hold his ground.
Yeah, made it a little harder.
My thought is, we'll see if how he holds up against basically the same size as Adu. Does he come in and, you know, he's blocked more shots playing in a different league? I don't know how it translates. He's obviously not a scorer. My thoughts on that are, again, I want shooting. And if you can have a guy in there that can defend, discourage shots at the rim, block shots at the rim, rebound, score 6.5 points again, like, fine. But if the other four guys can shoot, if you get Dubar, if you get Lanier, who I still feel like is the linchpin, it feels like Tyson is trending UNC. I understand he's supposed to let the staff know sometime in the next 24 hours or so. I feel like it's pretty good, man. It's pretty good.
We get Lanier.
And Dubar.
Then we got another big commitment for – we got the
25?
Yeah.
Debo.
That kid's.
Dwayne Brown.
He's a big kid.
Here's what the portal's done to me, though. Because, you know, okay, he's obviously not on next year's team. He's rising high school senior, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to wait 1 year for him. He's not going to come in, probably compete for playing time right away, I wouldn't think, because look how hard Estrella, who was a much higher-rated prospect, how hard a time he had getting on the floor this year. Plus, you know, Barnes is going to find guys in the portal that he likes. So I'm looking like he's not going to make a huge impact 3 years at the most. And these high school guys, it seems like it's over 50% of the time now they transfer out anyway. Huh. I'm not saying he won't come in and be a great player. You know, maybe one of those 3 or 4 year guys that you need. He might be. Obviously, that's what they're hoping transpires.
We were kind of excited.
Oh, so am I. But there's also a tinge of, I don't know. I don't want to get too excited.
Yeah, it might be 3 years before you see him on the court, type of thing. So I get it.
And he might pull in a walk in Adu, or he plays 3 years for you. You think you got something just when he's on the verge of being whatever you brought him here to be. He takes off.
Let's not get cynical.
Going back to our original topic, takeaways from Ganey's appearance on the show Thursday, as much as they were blindsided by Adu, I think was only surpassed by just being baffled at Tobey's decision. Both basically without coming out and saying he's making a huge mistake.
Well, and that's what Barnes said about Awaka. They asked him point blank, would you welcome him back? And he's like, yeah, probably. He said, we're not waiting around.
No.
We're going out and getting guys. And I would, you know, because I continue to hear that they feel good about Igor Milicic. And then
I really like him.
If you get Okpara, well, those are 2 6'10 guys.
We're going to be set down low. Then we're just looking at.
Well, Tobey,
can we get a unicorn?
You still got a couple of spots to play with, so I suppose Tobey could come back. But A, does he want to come back in that situation?
And is he going to have any minutes to come back to?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose you'd let him come back and compete for it and say, hey, we'd love to have you, but we got these other two guys, and they're not coming here to ride the pine. So you have to compete just like you did with Jonas.
Plus, you know, there's Estrella who is. What did he say about JP? Like, he seems like he's being groomed to be the.
Well, he said he was the best post scorer they had in practices. Which
they're saying they think he could end up being the best big they've had since they've been here.
I don't remember him saying that, but no, I mean, if you say, yeah, you know, I was gonna say, but if he really was the best post scorer in practice, well, I mean, let's be like. Jonas scored, and he had some good games. He was not like your true post.
No, he had that left hand. He was deadly with that left-handed sky hook.
Yeah, and then of course a dunk, right? Like if it's wide open, he's gonna get there.
I don't know, man. I mean,
I'm just saying, like he didn't have like. I'm not gonna say Jonas had elite moves or post skill offensively.
No, I mean our best dunker on the team this year was Dalton.
I'd buy that.
Tell me, who is it?
Interesting times off the court for Tennessee basketball right now as you try and just build your roster on a almost year-to-year basis. Should Tennessee prioritize Awaka at this point? Like, how big of a deal is that?
I think it's a thing where the vibe I got was that they were kind of like puzzled by it. Correct me if I'm wrong, Houston. And they really like this kid. I mean, Barnes said in the press conference, you know, they love him. And he's worked really hard for him. But at the same time, I mean.
I think the production you got from Awaka is easily replaceable. I guess the question becomes then if he does take that next step. Because he's a ferocious rebounder.
He just can't stay on the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
But if he cuts down on the fouls and gets a little more touch around the rim, then it's like, wow.
Well, that's another thing that always gave me pause as far as the whole, we don't need Adu, we've got a Waka discussion when it's like, okay.
If we're going to 10 or 12 minutes.
If we're building around a Waka.
Yes.
And he's going to be our big man. I mean, I have no doubt that he would adjust and everything, but a guy like that who's a bull in a china shop, you just know there's going to be a handful of games throughout the season where he's just going to get in foul trouble.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to play without him for large stretches of the game. And what are the chances of that happening in an NCAA tournament game? Pretty high.
Pretty high. The other thing that he does bring to the table, he brought it to the table at Kentucky. He is that one wild card where he's going to have a game where he'll keep the team he's on from ever getting bullied. I mean, he was ready to go up there at Rupp. I mean, he's a tough, hard-nosed kid.
I'm just glad the other takeaway I had from the Barnes press appearance last week was, all right, despite all the rumors around town of is he going to hang it up? Is this it? Is Rick Barnes just going to say, ah, to heck with this? No, he definitely gave off the vibe of a guy who's still in it, still chasing the impossible dream, man. Just
100%. Yeah. Rumor has it the day after they got – the next day when they got back after getting bounced that he was – I'm sure they all were. The coaches were back in the complex and watching film.
Yep.
So, nah, he's not slowing down.
I think you have to. I think they've just changed their calendar to where it's
– I mean, for being one of the older coaches, man, he has probably done the best at adjusting – these whiplash changes with college athletics.
But you know the thing about that is he's always been a delegator, right, where he gives his assistants a lot of responsibility in the recruiting area of it particularly. And I think that allows him to not overreact when things blow – when a roster blows up or something like that, because he's like, all right, I got these guys are going to handle it for me.
Yeah.
And – I think that's actually kind of an advantage. I know some of the naysayers who are fewer and further between these days would say, well, you know, he lets everybody else do his recruiting for him or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that and just the NIL, the willingness to change the way he does things, you know, offensively, defensively, just overall, I never thought in a million years.
He's proven very flexible.
He Jay Wright couldn't do it. Now he's just sitting there next to Candace every
week.
I think
Jay Wright could have done it. He just chose not to. I'm not going to sit here and knock Jay Wright.
Well, I'm not either. But
he could have done it.
I think you're misunderstanding my point. But
you just said he couldn't do it. I think he probably could have done it.
Well, then why didn't he?
Yeah, he already had his
soft.
His two
enough.
Championships.
Yeah, he got the rings.
I don't care. He's soft compared to Rick.
Now I can buy that. I'll agree with you on that.
It's all that Dove's Men Plus Care product he's using.
He does have a pretty good gig.
He's got a very good gig.
He's buddies with Candace Parker. He talks about basketball and gets paid handsomely.
He's a handsome man. Yeah. He gets up there. And
you think Kentucky called him?
Yeah, and I don't think he answered.
New number, who dis?
Block.
Good day.
I'm good. Well, imagine wearing one of those goofy-ass pink hats while SEMO rounds the bases for the third time in an afternoon on you.
Did I miss
just looking in your dugout?
What was
like,
that?
You clowns.
What was that?
I know they had some charity thing, but I don't think that was a part of
it. No, that was a teddy bear thing.
Yeah, they said it was like hat day. Saturday was hat day.
Well, they were giving away hats, but the pink hats has been like their daddy hat or whatever. Somebody had one on in the dugout.
They're that beta that they're wearing pink hats?
They had it in the dugout?
That's a bold move for a man to wear pink. Doesn't work for them.
Well, they had the color guy was – that was the first thing we saw Friday night when they were doing their little pregame. They go and the guy had on the pink hat. And I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing? And then they explain, no, this guy in the dugout wears it. And then they showed around that, you know, there were a couple of them in the stands.
What do you guys think Simo said to the dugout?
I don't think he said anything. I think he gave him a stare down.
No, he was his mouth was moving.
What? I thought it was just a stare down.
Nah.
He's getting that cold, like, I just did that.
So he did the Euro step. He did the trucker
honking
his horn.
He always does that. He always honks the horn. And then, he had the little Euro step before third.
And then he stared him down. And then the classic.
Love it when he does that.
And then he bashes forearms.
You got to tell people what you did. The Superman.
Yeah, Superman on.
Well,
balls.
He just outlines Vols on his chest. It's not like he's ripping. It's so good. He's been my banner on Twitter for like 3 years.
He says, I don't know if he says Vols or what it is. He's bellowing, but
elite effort.
He about hit one for every one of the five boroughs yesterday. Had an incredible weekend.
Roberto had a good tweet. He wanted to, he wanted to come up with a nickname. His two were, it was the Brooklyn Bomber or something else to play on the boroughs or New York. Brooklyn Bomber is pretty good.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Bomber is pretty good. Let's get a phone call in here. To kick things off this afternoon, 865-288-3131.
Attaboy.
Your number to get on the program. Polish Joe in the SEMO leadoff position this afternoon. What's up, Pojo?
Happy Monday, guys.
Happy Earth Day. I know you celebrate.
I never have made this comparison, but I kind of feel like Michael Jordan in 84 before the All-Star game when Isaiah froze him out of the game.
How's that?
So, Russ, I love it when you giggle when I take a couple shots at my friend Bear. You do love it, don't you?
I'm usually open to a certain amount of Bear slander. It is a thin line.
Well, I have a couple unused respirators from work, and the pollen's real high, so you're welcome. I'll deliver one to you just so you can come to the show the next day.
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Man, I was behind a truck today, like a pickup truck on Dutchtown, and I guess he had just been parked somewhere all weekend.
Pollen was just
clouds of pollen were like waving out of this guy's the bed of his pickup truck. Oh yeah, I was like, oh man, seal up all the entries.
I mean, I'll donate a respirator just when the pollen's high for you, just to come to work, buddy.
I didn't have allergies last week, man. I had the stomach bug from hell.
Guys, what a great weekend. Now the jokes are aside. What a great weekend. We took Kentucky down, and then after that, we find out about the great Vandy baseball coach cheat.
Vandy boys!
That whole thing was wild. So you read, so the kid who's got caught with, which I have to imagine something like spider tack or something sticky.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in another pitcher. He gets hurt warming up.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And then they had to bring in another pitcher. I thought that young lady on Twitter was just going to have a nervous breakdown that covers it. What's her name?
Oh, yeah, Aria. I know who you're talking about.
Aria Gerson. And then Tim Corbin decided to get back at him with intentionally walking Jack Caglione. That way he doesn't hit the streak. Keep the 9 home run game streak.
What a punk.
Well, Kevin O'Sullivan is too. It's a matchup.
No, I know.
Them.
Yeah, they're both kind of punks, but
I kind of like that. Yeah. That's petty.
It is petty.
Not gonna lie, I would do it too.
Guys, what's worse, the act of cheating or the cover up?
The act of cheating. I don't know.
You don't think?
It depends on what the act is. I would say.
There's two sports where cheating is, it's not that it's not frowned upon, but everybody's
you're
a little
not
bit
doing
more,
it. You're not trying.
NASCAR,
baseball.
Over the years, now if you get caught, they're gonna whack you.
Yeah, it's not like Watergate where the cover up is worse than the crime. I mean, you know, it depends on what the crime is, right? If you're you know, your little sticker falls off the bat or whatever. If I tell, hey, what's going on here? The sticker fell off the bat.
Well, while you're smiling, that's exactly what happened.
Whatever.
That wasn't cheating.
Whatever happened there.
Whatever.
It's fine.
You got it. We got the bat back. They tested it. A sticker fell off.
Don't be a sheep, man. Don't be a sheep.
Guys, a lot of people around here, you know, and this is true that they were more mad at Pearl Lyon after the fact. Even no matter, it was a stub on the toe, you know?
Well, at that time, I mean, the NCAA carried a big stick, and you got to be smarter than that.
I mean, we were walking around, you know, begging somebody to you know, punch us.
And then I go to, what's worse, like Sosa saying, oh, I no comprende English, or McGuire doesn't remember, or a Palmeiro or Clemens or A-Rod doing what they did. But I don't think any of them ever blamed their wife for getting the HGH shipment shipped to the house.
Who was that, Tiger?
Whoa, no.
Or was it?
Watch your step, Pojo.
It's true, Bear.
Watch your step.
Or Peyton.
It's true.
It's fine, man. Like
taking a shot at the sheriff.
Football. Here's the thing, man.
Tell him your theory on all this.
What is my theory? I have a theory.
You said before that you didn't care if they were all jacked up.
I just put football off to the side, where it's a gladiator sport, and guys are doing whatever they have to do. I don't think Peyton was doing the HGH or the stem cell replacement, whatever he was doing, I don't think he was doing it to gain any sort of competitive advantage. I think he was doing it to recuperate and recover from his neck injury and
what
get back on the field.
What do you think Bonds and Clemens and all them were doing?
Steroids.
It was
the
big
cream.
Recovering.
That wasn't recovering,
oh,
dude.
Oh, Pojo.
It got him to recover. Wait,
have you read Game of Shadows? Do you know anything about Barry Bonds?
Come
he was jealous. You go on.
Get out of here.
He was jealous of Mark McGwire and all the attention that he and Sosa got, and so he wanted to go and get it himself.
Roger Clemens suddenly he gained speed on his pitches late in his 30s.
Which, I mean, you could say like it's a competitive advantage just to get back to the field, and, hey, it's fair enough, but I would, you know, would I feel differently? First, if Peyton wasn't Peyton and he wasn't a Vol, yeah, probably, maybe, a little bit, I don't know. But if he was a baseball player, yeah, I mean, like, that's
– it'd be different.
It's just different. Maybe it shouldn't be, but it is. Football, I just assume all these guys are roided up and doing all sorts of illegal stuff to be out on the field and gain a competitive advantage. And there's just something that is inherently shadier about doing it in other sports. Again, should it be that way? Is that right? No. But that's the way it is. You know it, and I know it. Put it in your pipe and smoke it.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Quick timeout. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive. Check out our new...
Just Blaze.
Oh, baby.
Killer. All the girls see them. Look at his kicks. Look at his car. All I say is...
Back here on the Drive, Fan Run Radio.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I just appreciate you playing some bumper music from my personal playlist selection.
865-288-3131.
Your number to get on the show here this afternoon. A stat from J-Mo on the Twitter machine. Okpara had 83 blocks this year and 824 minutes of playing time. That would have been enough to surpass the single-season record shared by C.J. Black and Eve Pons at 73.
Whoa.
So he had 83 blocks this year.
You said he played 23
minutes, something like that, per game?
Bring him to me.
It's pretty strong.
Hell yeah, it is. He's been battling out up there in the Big Ten with Edie and those guys.
Chris asked, have you watched Okpara's highlight reel? A true big and physical center didn't look to shoot outside much, but he does the rest of it. I've not watched the highlights, just looked at the numbers.
I would describe as a fairly athletic, classic Big Ten center. He's a bruiser.
Well, I mean, if you can get all the length and block ability plus from Adu, plus a little more physicality, I'd say that's what we're looking for. And I'm willing to sacrifice some of the offense if he's not shooting. Like, I don't want to be throwing him the ball and posting guys up, shooting from the elbow and stuff like that. But if he would come in here and set screens, you know, score around the basket if there's garbage points
pick
available.
And
but above all else, protect the rim, just defend. Like, that's what you need. And if you put four shooters around him, that could work. That could be very good. There's a lot of Adu, I don't want to say slander going on right now, but a lot of, oh, we could do better, we're going to be better.
Be hard-pressed. I mean,
he was second-team All-SEC. We're losing a second-team All-SEC big man, okay? It's going to take a really nice player to just replace him,
yeah,
but B, to upgrade from – people are like, oh, man, anybody with an ounce of heart will be better. It's like, no, not really.
No, I mean, we don't get where we got this year without him. There's no doubt about it.
He's not going to Kentucky, is he?
Yeah, but –
no, it sounds like he's
– Baylor seems like the front runner now.
Everything I've seen today is he was like
– I'd be fine with
supposedly
that.
100% Baylor lock.
He goes to Kentucky – you have to walk back that entire sentence just now.
Well, no, because that wouldn't be the truth. Now he'll be dead to us.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, there's
yeah. There's levels
we,
here.
We can pretend that we don't miss him, but a lot of it just depends on how you replace him, I suppose,
and where he goes.
If he just and where he goes, exactly the choices he makes.
Yeah.
Just one more. You just finish your career here, dude. You go down as one of the all-time greats.
I know. I don't get it.
I cannot believe he walked away from that.
I don't know what his ultimate NBA potential would be, but, man, like if to leave when he's leaving, you're going to be a remembered hero nowhere. Unless he goes somewhere and has a Dalton Connect-like year, which I don't think
is. Go to Baylor. Have fun.
Yeah, but and then you know then who, you can't you know go, who you else can't come is back here.
Suddenly in the running for him though.
Waco's lovely in December.
It's not Kentucky. It is an SEC school.
Well, there's two of them.
Arkansas,
Alabama.
What would be worse, Kentucky or Bama?
Well, Nate Oates would hate that mid-range jumper he does.
No, he wouldn't shoot it.
Baylor is probably the best program. I mean, if we're being honest, like Kentucky's falling on hard
times. I can see why
he'd
want to go to Alabama. Arkansas let him shoot the three.
I guess they did go to a Final Four, but let's get a phone call from El Diablo in here before the top of the hour. What's up, Diablo?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Went up this weekend and watched that ball game up there. Man, had a great time. Got to tell you, Kentucky's got an absolutely beautiful ballpark. But I want to talk about some of the moves that Vitalo made, man. He was, you know, sometimes he gets questioned for his decision making, but I'm gonna tell you, yesterday, that pit, putting Peebles in there to hit, that was a great call. I know a lot of people got on Kirby Cannell, but you know he pitched till he was absolutely gassed, and the fact that he doesn't walk anybody really was the difference in the game.
Yeah.
And last but not least, the other move that he really made that I thought was very solid is I never even heard the kid before, but the guy that he brought in right there at the end that would do smoke. I think that was a big confidence booster for not only that young man, but for our bullpen.
Marcus Phillips?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
we hadn't seen a lot of that this year.
A couple of guys, you know, Peebles and Phillips, big spot. Guys who have not had great contributions by what have not contributed like they thought they would so far this season in huge spots. Coming in and in a very small sample size, you know, one at bat, just give us a sack fly, one at bat, just get us an out. And they got the job done. And
yeah, when Peebles hit that ball, guys, I thought it was out of the park. He made great contact on that.
Yeah. So you were up there yesterday?
No, I came back yesterday. I was there for the Saturday game. And,
okay.
And sitting there with the mouth breathers up north, they feel pretty confident they got Adu. So I hope you guys are right, but they were talking. And then the other thing I didn't realize they hired a new girls basketball as well as a men's. Did you all know that?
Yeah, he's from Virginia Tech. His name's is it Kenny Brooks? I think is his name. I'll look.
He ain't no Kim Caldwell. I'll tell you that right now.
No, not at all. Anyways, hey, fellas, I'm waiting to see what kind of report. I come in a little bit late. It's been a while since I've called in. But what's the report on the golf tournament? I want to know who won the illustrious green straight jacket and all that fun stuff. Give me the highlights and the lowlights.
We will do that. We will reset that topic for you in hour number two. Thank you, Diablo. Great hearing from you this afternoon, my friend. Quick timeout. Hour number two of The Drive coming up next here on Fan Run Radio.